From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 20th day of August. It'll be a busy day as we've got a lot to go through related to the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. We'll also take a look at what's been happening in the ag markets and discuss the agricultural energies. In Chicago today, September corn down 5.5 cents at 359.5. December at 368.75, 5.75 lower. In the March down 5.75 at 381.75. Next year's July down 4.75 at 395.75. November beans a penny and 3/4 lower at 868.25 on their settlement price. January down a penny and a half at 882. Next year's July at 917 up 1. Soft red winter wheat for the day at 460 down 5.5 cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago. October at $100 even up a buck 77.5. Feeders up 90 cents at 133.72.5. And lean hogs in the December contract at 64.17.5, $1.32.5 higher. Find more on willag.org. We're now joined by John Hester. He's at L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Hey, John, thanks for filling in for Wayne Nelson today. Have you gotten any rain yet today?
It started about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, we got a little rain here, and actually quite a bit. I don't know how much. A lot of wind. You still getting that, too?
We haven't got very much wind yet. It's just been a nice heavy shower, not a torrential downpour or anything, but just a nice heavy, steady rain.
What's your assessment at this point of the corn market? Is it neutral, friendly?
I think that it's the numbers I'm seeing, it ought to be friendly. My opinion is that the government's not telling us the truth how bad the corn crop really is in the Midwest.
Yeah, so it's about yield for you then.
Yes.
Yeah, and the government hasn't quite gotten to the point where they're got to objective yields yet, and
right.
So the truth is yet to be revealed, mostly because that
we may not know till after the first of the year on that in the January report.
Anything producers should do?
I'll tell you, I hate to sell beans down at this level, and the beans may be hurt across the production area worse than we think, just from the pod counts that I've been hearing. Corn, you know, I think we get back over $4. You got to sell cash corn anything over $4, or at least start there.
Hey, thanks so much, John.
All right.
John Hester is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Jeff Wilson is leading the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour Western Leg and now joins us. He's somewhere, I think, in Nebraska. Is that right?
Yes, we're near Red Cloud, Nebraska, down in the, I'd call it the south central part of the state. There's dry land corn, there's irrigated corn and beans, there's lots of cows, so, and steers. So it's a mixture of agriculture in this part of the state.
Now, I have a number of things to go through with you. So can you start with what was found yesterday on the South Dakota tour?
You bet. So in South Dakota, we took 68 samples. We came up with the average yield of 154.1 bushels per acre. That was down 13.4% from last year's tour average of about 178 bushels. And it's also down from the three-year average. The USDA earlier this month did forecast a crop that would be down 1.9% at 157 bushels. Now, there's some difference in terms of what the where we toured, because we just did the southeast corner of the state. That's probably the high, pretty high yield, high concentration. But the fact is, it's a pretty big drop from a year ago. The crop is very immature. It needs 50 days plus to make it to maturity. So we are at risk of this yield potential that we measured on Monday, if there is even a normal frost date at this point in time.
Because, say, 18 was such an anomaly, I actually happened to leave your 15, 16, 17 average in my table at willag.org. And while you're at 154.3 for this year, that three-year average for those 3 years was 153.98, so those aren't very far off. What'd you find for beans?
We found for beans 833 pods in a 3-foot by 3-foot square on average from our sampling yesterday. down almost 19% from a year ago. And that's also down almost 14% from that three-year average you're talking about. USDA is forecasting a 2.2% decline in their yield estimate, not a pod count, but their yield estimate, and that's at 45 bushels. Beans like corn is delayed. It also needs a long growing season. I think the main thing that the beans need right now is sunshine, warm temperatures, and probably neither crop needs any rain at this point in time. There's plenty of soil moisture to finish the crops. It's all about getting that sunshine and getting that plant to generate, moving the sugars and starches up in the kernels and filling those pods with beans.
Yeah, tell me about Nebraska so far, and we're recording at about 10:30 on Tuesday morning.
So we've made six stops so far coming out of Grand Island, Nebraska. It's been generally pretty good. It's had a pretty wide range. Obviously, when you have some irrigated and some non-irrigated, our high for the day is 202 bushels per acre, and our low was 76 bushels per acre. So that's a pretty big range of estimates, at least on six stops and on my route alone. I mean, there's another 10 routes going around the state today. So there is some damage from hail and wind. That one field that's the low-rated one, it had a lot of wind damage. But Nebraska is known to have wind damage. So that's already kind of built into the usual weather story that goes on in Nebraska. And generally speaking, the farmers that are on the crop tour have generally said this year is not as severe as in the past in terms of having hail and wind damage. So that's a good news story.
So one thing about Nebraska, and this is a note that you folks make each year, is that it tends to be lower than the USDA numbers. Why is that?
Because Nebraska is 60% irrigated, and we probably only take 40% irrigated samples. So non-irrigated cropland is going to probably yield a little bit less than the irrigated, and that's why our sample size tends to be a little bit smaller than what the USDA might put out.
Historically, that number is about 15 bushels light, according to you folks.
Mm-hmm.
It's the oddball out of the rest of the states, because most of the rest of the states are going through the best areas of all the states. You're just throwing out the irrigated because you know that's going to be pretty good most of the time. And they tend to be heavier, or they tend to be higher. Is that correct?
Right. Irrigated's always, you can put the water on when you don't have it, and you can turn it off if you're having a good season. So it's a win-win if it's a wet season. It's a win-win when it's a dry season when you have irrigation.
Hey, thanks so much. Good luck. Where are you going to end up tonight?
Tonight we're going to be in Nebraska City. We'll have all the results of 2 days of touring Nebraska. And the eastern side will be giving out the information from Indiana after touring Indiana yesterday and today.
Well, that's Jeff Wilson. He is leading the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. Speaking of the eastern leg, we're joined by Brian Grady now. He's leading that side. Hey, thanks so much for being with us, Brian. Can you go through what you all found in Ohio yesterday first?
Yeah, first off, Todd, it was very immature crops. We're talking corn that's going to need weeks, plural on that, to get to the finish line. So a lot of corn that we pulled, every single sample, for the most part, was still in melt stage. So it showed the impacts of the rough spring that they had, the rough early summer. I'm sure some of these crops were planted into very much less than ideal conditions, and stand counts were down, which caused the ear counts to decline. And we came up with an average yield in the state of Ohio, 154 bushels per acre. That was down 14.4% from what we found last year. But it's apples to oranges compared to last year, because a very good crop in Ohio last year, and a crop that has some potential, but potential is the key word, because it's immature and it's going to need time and it's going to need some late season rains to get to the finish line.
And what are you finding in Indiana today?
Well, we went through the eastern part of Indiana yesterday, and that was much the same as what we saw in western Ohio. Immature crop, a lot of corn that sampled in the melt stage. as we transitioned west through Indiana, the crop maturity along my route, and we aren't done yet today, so I can only speak to my route, one of 12, but the crop maturity improved a little bit around Lafayette. We saw that the conditions improved, the yields improved, and the crop maturity improved. I actually, right before I crossed the border into Illinois, pulled my first sample that I personally pulled in the first day and a half that was dented. And it wasn't fully dented, but it was starting to dent. And that's the kind of corn we would see in a normal year. So that will tell you something. I pulled all those samples, and that was the first one that was what I would consider a normal sample in a normal year.
As you mentioned, you're traveling in eastern Illinois today. Where will you be tonight for the meeting?
We're actually in Tremont at the Precision Plant facility there tonight for our nightly meeting. So there'll be a big crowd there, and we'll get together, talk about the results from Indiana, and talk a little bit about what we saw in the eastern half of Illinois. But we'll finish up Illinois tomorrow as we trek into Iowa City from Bloomington.
One final question for you. This relates to the difference between the tour and the end of the week pro farmer estimations that you will make. Those will come out on 130. That's a national estimate. What's the difference between the two?
So everything that we do Monday through Thursday this week is going into fields, pulling samples, putting it into our formula, and then putting that into a spreadsheet. So that's full crop tour sampling. The estimates that Pro Farmer releases at 1:30 Central Time on Friday take into account the crop tour numbers, but they also take into other factors such as crop maturity or immaturity this year, acreage, any changes we want to make there, areas outside of the areas that we sample on crop tour, so on and so forth, and a lot of different factors. And that's why those numbers in all likelihood will be different than the numbers you hear Monday through Thursday this week. And there's always a little bit of confusion on that. Monday through Thursday is crop tour only, and then on Friday, that is pro farmer only. So there is a difference there.
Hey, thanks so much.
You bet, Todd.
Brian Grady is the editor of the Pro Farmer Newsletter and traveling on the eastern leg of the tour this week. We're now joined by Sherman Newland. He's with Risk Management Commodities. And like our earlier guest, Jeff Wilson, he's been traveling on the western leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour, but a different route. He was through South Dakota and parts of Nebraska. I suppose you'll end up in Iowa sometime today. Is that right?
No. We're ending up in Nebraska City this evening.
Oh, well, tell me about what you've seen yesterday. Well, we talked yesterday, but what you've seen today in Nebraska.
Yeah, we started in Grand Island this morning and drove south through Hastings, almost to the very southern border of Nebraska, to the Kansas border. I mean, we're finding good stuff. I mean, nothing too alarmingly one way or the other, about what was expected. The car average for corn so far after nine stops has been 155.5. The bean pod average is 1148 after nine stops. So, overall, most of the stuff's in pretty good condition. Had seen some hail damage. It's irrigated ground, dry land ground. Looks pretty good. We were looking at, some of the stuff, and I think the dry corn will look good for this type of year. The population is low, which it has to be for that. We figured up one a while ago, and it was 23,000 populations came in at that. So that seems to be really low, but it had good ear girth. A lot of the corn's in the 16 to 18. We're finding dented corn today, more mature crop here. So overall, though, about as expected, I think. It'll probably come in pretty close to what USDA has been saying.
So anything else to draw a conclusion on what you've seen in the last day and a half or so?
Overall, like I said, Nebraska is not going to be as bad, all that bad, which is kind of what we're into. Going to be, like I said, in line with what USDA is showing. Maybe a little bit less. If anything, I thought maybe it'd be a tad better than what it was, especially on the irrigated ground. But there we're finding a little bit lower population than what it would take. I mean, finding ear size That's not seems to be the problem. It's just the population is a little bit on the lower side. But overall, I don't think it's going to be a whole lot different than what USDA said.
On the western leg, at your evening events, you have along with you for those nightly events a USDA representative. How's that gone so far?
Last night was the first one. We'll see how tonight goes. It was very well attended. I don't know. We had probably 400, 500, 600 people there. We had a packed house. But once some of the data came out, that wasn't too shocking, I guess. But, you know, a lot of farmers were concerned, had a lot of questions with the acreage data and prevent plant data. So there was some heated moments, more or less, if you wanted to say that, with some very good discussion back and forth, I should say, about, you know, why it wasn't prevent plant acres, you know, or the lower planted acres coming in lower with all the prevent plant acreage. And there was some, you know, lively discussion back and forth between the folks from USDA and Chip Flory trying to explain that situation. I'm not sure it answered their questions or satisfied them, but there is a lot of concern out there with how that was going on.
Sherman Newland is with Risk Management Commodities and traveling on the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. He mentioned that the United States Department of Agriculture took questions last night, and they will again tonight on that western leg from producers, and that some were really disgruntled about the acreage, that 90 million acre corn number that was released by USDA in the first crop production report of the year. That would have happened in the August numbers. And I'm going to try to explain some of that at this point, because I thought really we had gotten to a place where most everybody was satisfied that the 90 million was right or pretty close to right. So what USDA did was to count all the acres that had been planted, and they tallied those up against the FSA numbers. Let me explain how that happened and some of the differences that are still there, because there's somewhat of a discrepancy between that 90 million from USDA and the 84, 85, I don't recall which number it was, from FSA. Those numbers from FSA are reported, as you know, by farmers. However, not everything is reported, and the reporting process continues all the way through October. And you're saying, Todd, wait a second, reporting is supposed to be done. It's not. There are people who are late, and we know that every year. It happens year in and year out. The FSA numbers are only released because DTN, I believe, or a member of the press, did asked for those numbers to be released and did a FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, a few years back. So the numbers from FSA are too low at this point. Here's how we get to the 90 million acres, and it's pretty simple to understand. Most farmers went to their crop insurance agent, or the crop insurance agent came to them, one of the two, and said, your maximum number of corn acres is X. And then the farmers planted corn up until they could not plant corn, no matter when that was. And they did that after the last plant date in Illinois. That was June 5, right? But they didn't have to plant. They could have taken plant easily enough after that. However, they kept planting, and when they got all the corn acres that they could get or wanted in, they looked at the max number and said, did I max it out? No. This is across the whole of the United States. And then they said to the crop insurance agent, these two fields, these five fields, whatever it is, these acres are now corn acres, and they're going to prevent plant, though they probably were intended as bean acres. So now how do you get there? Well, Nick Paulson from the University of Illinois, an ag economist on the Farm Doc Daily team, and I had this discussion. You heard it last week. I'll try to post it up on the website at willag.org as well. If you tally, over the last 4 years, the maximum number of corn acres that could be planted by all producers in the United States, it is greater than 108 million acres, and that's at the county level, not at the individual level. It's probably 3 or 4 million acres higher than that. So you can get 90 million corn acres plus another 11 million prevent plant acres easily enough and still not be all the way up to the number of corn acres that would have been possible this year. On this Tuesday afternoon, Dave Chatterton is here with Strategic Farm Marketing to take a look at the agricultural energies. Good afternoon to you, Dave. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. Good to be with you as always.
Hey, so I've got a quick couple of questions for you. I know we're getting close to that harvest time, and sometimes producers have not yet filled their diesel fuel tanks. Is there any reason that they should at this point?
Yeah, Todd, I think it's definitely something we have our clients looking at this particular point. The diesel fuel prices have been jockeying around a little bit back and forth since we talked last month. Not a real huge change, but we are a little bit cheaper. But what we find is that seasonally the market wants to turn up here starting in the next couple of weeks and stay that way through about, you know, through about the end of September into October. So, for example, last year we saw prices rise during that period about 35 cents, in 2017 about 45 cents, and in 2016 about 25 cents. So while there could certainly be some downside longer term, as far as fall goes, it's time to get your needs covered if you haven't done so already and be looking at that. For next spring on diesel fuel, we can be a little bit more patient. Typically, we see the yearly price lows come in a little bit later in the year, typically sometime between Thanksgiving and the first of the year. So kind of two different ways to look at things between fall and spring. For fall, it's definitely time to be paying attention here.
And as we've been listening to the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour, we know that there are places, and a lot of them, that put corn in the ground really late. They're likely to need propane in the tanks to do some drying. How about that?
Yeah, also something that you should be paying attention to, and if you haven't done so already, it probably is time to book. We've got wholesale propane prices coming out of that Kansas-Oklahoma basin in the 30-cent range. That's under 50 cents delivered for transports in central Illinois. And while historically, if you go back and look at the amount of time we've spent under those price levels, really in the last 10 or even 15 years, you can count the number of weeks on one hand. So it's definitely time to be thinking about that. Inventories are high, but they're much higher in the Gulf Coast and some other regions of the U.S. than they are here in the Midwest. And with the late crop that we've got and the issues that could surround that if we do have an early frost, I think it's something that's just the downside price risk is minimal compared to what we see for the upside. Also, as we come out of harvest, because prices are so historically low, depending on where you're at, if your tanks are empty coming out of harvest, it's a price thing that you want to monitor those prices. And if they're attractive enough, it may be worth filling your tanks again already for next year, as opposed to buying in and looking at the forward numbers and the carry in the marketplace.
Macroeconomics for a moment. Crude oil in at mid-$50 level. It does put some pressure on the corn market because of the relationship with ethanol. What do you see?
Yeah, definitely a little bit shaky ground there. The confidence in the U.S. economy is not necessarily terrible, but it's certainly taken a step back, and I think last week is a good example of that. In the oil markets overall, we've got a lot going on, as we always do, with geopolitical ties and weather and inventories and all the things that go on, but the biggest influence has been the demand tie, and the global demand forecasts for oil continue to come down. We had OPEC out even this week talking about that and seeing a surplus for next year. So certainly it's a little bit more of a headwind there for ethanol, for the corn complex looking forward, and keeps a lid on our rally potential going forward.
Hey, thanks so much, Dave.
Thank you, Todd.
Dave Chatterton is with Strategic Farm Marketing right here in Champaign County. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.